If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I thought I would be balling by now. Like, I'm not finna sit here and lie to y'all. I thought I would be balling by now. I thought that I would be a whole millionaire. I thought I'd be best-selling author. I thought I would be X, Y, and Z. And let's be honest, this is very vulnerable right now. I have low-key, I'm not gonna say half because I got it back. I had low-key given up on my dreams. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. And I should have introduced my dog because he is going to be very vocal this episode. Okay. Oh, Lord. I know y'all hear him in the background. He is just hacking away. If you guys do not know, I have a 14-year-old Shih Tzu. Anyone who has a senior dog knows that senior dogs be old. Okay. They be old. They be having ailments. My dog, unfortunately, has congestive heart failure, so he is on a few medications. One of his medications I get from Chewy, and they are just taking forever to send his medication. And so this medication calms his heart. So right now he has a very active beating, which is causing the hacking in which you hear in the background. You may say, why not put him outside or put him in a closet? I live in a studio, so there's nowhere for him to go except the closet. And, you know, put him in a closet, he's just going to bark. So, here we are. Here we are. We make the best out of all situations. The show must go on. Okay. How are you guys doing? What did I do this weekend? I worked. That's what I did. That's why I can't think of what I did. Oh, but we outside this weekend. I'm excited. Woo-woo. We are at Spellhouse Homecoming this weekend. Yes. If you live in Atlanta and you have never been to a Spellhouse Homecoming, you are missing out. Now, they do charge now. Back in the day, you used to could get in for free, but it is amazing. It is a vibe. It is a move. So if you are looking for something to do this weekend, get your girls and y'all get on down to Spellhouse Homecoming. Who cares if you didn't go? I didn't go. My brother didn't go. But we're going. Okay, I went to Georgia State, and I'm gonna be at my homecoming as well. Okay, I'm excited. I am a homecoming connoisseur. Okay, just like a rooftop connoisseur, I'm a homecoming connoisseur. So I'm excited to be there. Yeah, I am. Okay, all right now. So today I want to talk about putting your eggs in one basket. Do not put your eggs in one basket. Now, I am not speaking on the general meaning of putting your eggs in one basket. No, I am speaking on it on a deeper level, because I feel like when you hear don't put your eggs in one basket, that means like don't put your faith into like one person. Don't put your faith into like one job, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like it's more so don't put your full weight on one outcome. Because I think it's cool to want something, have a goal, set a goal for something, right? But when the outcome doesn't come out exactly how you want it, you get frustrated and you want to give up on your goals, et cetera, et cetera. No, I think that's fine to do. But I do feel like sometimes we put too much weight on the thoughts of others, too much weight on the outcomes of things, too much weight on the timing of things. And that just frustrates us to the point where we give up on our own freaking dreams. And I'm tired of people giving up on themselves and giving up on their dreams. So today I want to teach you, not even teach you, today I just want to speak about how not to put all of your eggs in one basket. All right. So this episode idea came from me watching the TV show Sweet Bobby. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. If you plan to watch Sweet Bobby on Netflix, which is a Netflix documentary on a catfish gone way too long, gone way too wrong, then you do not want to listen to this next maybe 5 to 10 minutes. Okay. So Sweet Bobby. This documentary was insane because this documentary could have been shorter. It should have been shorter. All I'm saying is it just was way too long. So it's about this chick. I'm gonna call her Kay because I'm bad with names and I'm gonna pronounce her name all the way wrong. So Kay, she meets this random guy on Facebook. He friend requests her and then send her a message and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And she's like, "Oh, what's up? What's going on?" So she's comfortable with speaking with him because one of her cousins knows him. And because she's like a Middle Eastern family, families be knowing each other. And so if your family knows somebody else, even if y'all don't know each other like that, like you feel comfortable and you feel safe with them, right? So she gets the message from Bobby and she embraces the message. She answers back. They start talking. Then one day she's out, like a few months later, I think she's out in the club. In the club, we all fam. I don't know why that's so funny to me. If you don't know what I'm saying, you ain't been on TikTok. But anyway, so they're out in the club and she sees Bobby. And so she walks up to him. She's like, "Bobby, it's me." And he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's me." She's like, "Yeah, it's me. K name or whatever, whatever." And so he kind of looks at her, but he doesn't really say anything. So she's thinking it's because the music too loud. When in reality, he had no idea who this woman was. Okay. So she leaves the club. Mind you, she's talking to Bobby like every few days. Like they're talking frequently. She never brings it up. Okay, cool. So they keep talking. She never brings the club up. She's in a relationship at the time. So she's in a relationship with this guy she had been with since high school. So in her culture, they marry really young. In her culture, the weight of being married is very, very heavy. It's worse for her culture than it is even for an American person to be married. Like, I feel like in our culture, if you're not married, I mean, people may say a little stuff, but you're not seen as invaluable as a person. You don't got everybody and their mama telling you need to get married. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm stuffy. But in their culture, it's like they have planned marriages, arranged marriages. So like they're very big on marriage. Like it is a part of their system. So she was in her mid-20s, I believe, at this time. And her then boyfriend kept doing this thing where he would be like, "Oh, I'm not ready for marriage." Then he would disappear, ghost her. And then she would be crushed. And then he would come back and she would accept him again. So sis was very, very, she was too graceful. I think a lot of it was all of those expectations on her. And she was low-key a little bit desperate because she kept putting all her eggs in one basket. So from the time she was 18 until 30, about, that's how long this relationship lasted with her ex. She's in this relationship. He's not marrying her. Finally, they break up and she put her eggs out in this one basket. And like everyone's looking at her like, "Okay, what now? You don't have any prospects. Like, what's going on?" But her family's actually supportive. Like, she don't have a family that's like, "Oh, you better get married to the next one, etc." But she's putting this pressure on herself. So she gets out of this relationship. Her and Bobby were still talking. In the midst of this, Bobby had gotten engaged. He, because he was married, he got a divorce. He got engaged, remarried in this span of time of her messing around with this other guy, right? So she's getting the pictures from him. Mind you, they've never talked on the phone. They've never FaceTimed. At this point, they've been friends for like 5 years. And they've never talked on the phone, never FaceTimed. And I'm guessing it's because she's like, "Well, he's just my friend." I don't know. But even if it was just my friend, I'm trying to like, bro, what are we doing? Because they were sharing really intimate, deep conversations. So anyway, she breaks up with dude. He reaches out to her. He's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so sorry for you, blah, blah, blah." So fast forward, out of nowhere, the cousin that knows Bobby, because the cousin that knows Bobby actually used to date Bobby's brother. So she knows him for real. Like, she's met him in real life. She knows him. So out of nowhere, they're like, the cousin messages her and says, "Hey, Bobby's been shot." So she's like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" So Bobby gets shot. So Bobby's messaging her. And then all of a sudden he gets shot. And then now he gets shot by like some mafia or something. And he has to go into witness protection and he can't talk. He can't use his voice. So they're like on FaceTime, but he can only like tap keys on the keyboard, and he's thinking about killing himself because his wife left him because now he got shot and he can't walk. And it sounds crazy. As I'm telling you guys, it sounded just as crazy when you watch it for yourself, because it's like, why didn't she know? Why didn't she know something fishy was going on? Okay. So anyway, so he's saying all this stuff, and then he's broken up with the wife now, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I love you. It's just too much. It's too much. So they eventually end up in a relationship. Again, she's never talked to this man on the phone. She's never FaceTimed this man. She's never seen his face. She's only going by the fact that her cousin knows him and that she saw him in a club, but she really didn't meet him in a club. So now she's there talking about weddings and everything. She's telling her family, like, we're going to get married because, again, she's putting all her eggs in this one basket again. So she's telling them all this. They go on with their relationship, and it just gets crazy. I don't even want to get into it. It's just a lot because this episode really shouldn't. This documentary shouldn't have been an hour and a half. This documentary should have been 30 minutes. But anyway, she gets into this relationship, and then she sends him a picture and was like, my ex-wife is pregnant. And he's like, Kay's like, how's your ex-wife pregnant? That means y'all had sex. And he's like, I'm sorry. So she calls the cousin and she's like, should I forgive him? I can't believe he would do this to me, blah, blah, blah. And so the cousin's like, you got to trust him, you know, forgive him, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. So she goes back to this dude because she's putting all her eggs in this basket. She's insane. So she's still rocking with him again, never seen him, never did nothing. Every time he's supposed to travel home, it's because he's in witness protection. He can't travel home. I'm trying to make this short. I'm telling y'all, this movie was an hour and a half. So fast forward, eventually he flies back because her grandmother ends up passing away. And she's like, if you don't come, then I'm not going to talk to you anymore. So he supposedly comes, but he's like, I'm trying to get treatment. I'm in the hospital. I don't feel like talking to nobody. No, I don't want to see you. So she's like hunting him down at this point. So finally, she gets a private investigator and finds his home. Well, guess what, y'all? She pulled up to the real Bobby's house with his actual wife that he never was going to get divorced because the whole getting shot, that was all made up. Like, she pulls up, police get involved. It's crazy. So whole time, the person that was catfishing her was her cousin. And the cousin still to this day haven't told her why. Nobody knows why. We just know this shit crazy. Okay. So you might be saying, I still don't know how you get put all your eggs in one basket from this documentary. And here's how I got it. We are very judgmental as a people. We are very judgmental as a race. I feel like I would never do that, but we be doing a whole bunch of nevering, okay? You can't ever say what you will and won't do until you're in a person's shoes. I'm talking fully fitted in their shoes. I'm talking have their same background, have their same expectations, have their same mindset, have their same thought process. You will never know, right? I feel like this woman felt she was supposed to be married by a certain point in time. She grew up in this household where she was really loyal to a fault, because she's seen her parents be married forever. Basically, her whole life, her parents are married, and everyone around her is basically married, and this culture of like being married and stuff. So every time she dated a guy, she felt it was the end all be all. Every time she dated a guy, she felt like this was her chance, this was her moment, especially because for her, her clock was ticking. So she put all her eggs in one basket instead of mentally being present in the situation. Okay. I feel as people, we do this a lot, and not even in relationships. I think it happens in other things as well. I think it happens when we're trusting God for something and it doesn't come exactly how we want it to come. So we get discouraged. We get upset because the outcome that we had planned for ourselves is not the outcome that God had for us. So we get up in arms, when in reality, if we just go with the flow, trust in his plans and be flexible on the outcomes and not put all your eggs in that basket, then you'll be fine. I'm going to give you an example. A lot of y'all pick 25 for by the time you'd be married. I don't know why 25 being married by that age was like the universal number for our generation, but it was. So now you're way past 25 and you're not married because you put all of your eggs in that basket. You're still upset. You're still discouraged. You're still beating yourself up over not being married by 25. You probably even devalue yourself at some point because you haven't been married yet. You probably even have put all your eggs in that basket so hard that you're low-key desperate. So you accept bare minimum from men. You accept nonsense. You accept men who you don't, they're not even, they... The list you made, you done tore it up and you just like, I mean, I'll just take somebody, right? Because you put all your eggs in that you would be married by 25. Guess what? Life's still going on. Life still goes on. You got to take your eggs out that basket, okay? Mine is more so career-wise. I thought I would be balling by now. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to y'all. I thought I would be balling by now. I thought that I would be a whole millionaire. I thought I'd be best-selling author. I thought I would be X, Y, and Z. And let's be honest, this is very vulnerable right now. I have low-key, I'm not going to say half because I got it back. I had low-key given up on my dreams to the point where God had to be like, sis, I'm going to keep putting your dreams to the forefront because I can't let you quit on your dreams. Because if you quit on your dreams, you basically quitting on me. So God keeps reminding me of the dreams he put in my heart. So if you are a person and you are watching this and you know that you have some dreams in your heart that you've low-key given up on, you quietly quit on these dreams because you're tired of hoping, wishing, praying because you put all your eggs in the basket that it would have happened by now. And because it hasn't happened by now, you're thinking to yourself, it's never going to happen. I need to give you a newsflash. That's not true. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We have to remember people like Tabitha Brown. Tabitha Brown, she had all these dreams and they did not happen how she thought they were going to happen. They happened out of nowhere and they happened later in life. If you ever listen to her story, it is very inspirational. It is a lot of people who this happened to. Steve Harvey. He didn't get on TV because he always said he was going to be on TV. He told his teacher at like 8 years old that he was going to be on TV and she laughed at him because I think at that time he had a stuttering problem. And she said all this. He didn't get on TV until I think in his late 30s, like 38 or something like that. And look at him now. That man got 6-7 jobs on 6-7 TV shows. Like what are we talking about? But I'm saying all that to say, stop putting your eggs in one basket. Stop putting your weight on one outcome because what happens is you leaning so heavily on that one outcome that when it doesn't happen how you think it's going to happen, you get so discouraged that you basically quit on yourself, on your dreams, and just on all the things that you know that you know that you really want to happen. And I don't want that to happen for you. I also don't want what another thing that happens when you put your eggs all in one basket is you forget that you have options. You forget that there are other ways of doing things. That makes you a little bit desperate. That makes you a little bit delusional. That makes you a little bit not sober of mind, okay? When you're so emotionally gung-ho about this one thing happening exactly how you think it's going to happen, it allows you to be tricked. It allows you to ignore wise counsel. It allows you to ignore your own intuition. It is a lot of stuff when you do that. And I'm saying it, I'm leaning into it because I used to be that person who did that. I used to be that person who like really just, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how it's going to come out. And if it don't come out like that, then basically I'm a failure. And that's not true. Okay. So I just want you to get out of your brain and just stop thinking that way. You have options. You have more time. You haven't run out of time. People, we're still living. We're still walking this ghetto earth where Trump is one of the candidates to presidency again. I just don't understand. But that means you still have time. So I just want to give somebody hope today. And if you know that you know that you're putting all your eggs in one basket, that you're putting all of your weight on this one outcome, and maybe you've already put all your weight on one outcome, it didn't happen how you thought it was going to happen. So now you basically just said, I'm a dead that dream. I'm a dead that imagination. I'm a dead stop. I need you to reopen. I need you to start writing that book again. I need you to start planning to buy that house again. I need you to start planning to move to that city that you thought you was going to move to again. Just because it didn't happen before, just because it didn't go exactly how you wanted it to go. And somebody out here who's done told somebody else that, listen, if this relationship don't work, I'm never going to be in a relationship again. I'm just going to be out here and be a hot girl. When deep down, you know that you are a lover girl. I need you to start dating again. Like, I need you not to put all your eggs in one basket. Side note. And this just me. I get it. When people go through tough breakups, when celebrities go through tough breakups, they go through rough moments with their partner, they go through men dogging them out. I'm not going to say a specific name, but I just saw this post. So then they get on Beyonce's internet and they tell you never trust anybody, never date, never do XYZ, treat these dudes how these dudes treat you, XYZ. I get why they're saying it because they got hurt. But at the same time, my story ain't your story. So I just don't want people to get discouraged by the rhetoric we see, because we're going to see mostly negativity, because negativity sells. Negativity is just more entertaining. Positivity isn't as entertaining as negativity. That's why when people are happy-go-lucky, they become famous, we love them. But as soon as they get too far at the top, I'm not weak because I don't do this. We tear them down. But it's like, why do we do that? But I just want to say, like, don't listen to the negative rhetoric that you see online just because the celebrity that you enjoy said it. That's their story. That ain't your story. That ain't your story. So I just want to keep you encouraged, because I just saw some recently and I was just like, why would she say that? Why would she say that on Beyonce's internet? Like, we minding our business. That ain't got nothing to do with us. Okay. But all right, y'all, until next time, be sure to like, comment, and share. Bye.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.